Lancaster presents the Screen Guild Players. The Screen Guild play tonight, Pittsburgh. The starring players...
This is Marlena Dietrich.
This is Randolph Scott.
And this is John Wayne.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in Universal Studios' current hit picture, Pittsburgh. The dramatic story of an industrial epoch and the men and women who created it. With the original cast from the picture, it is the story of Josie Winters, played by Marlena Dietrich, of Pittsburgh Markham, played by John Wayne, and Cash Evans, played by Randolph Scott. Lounging in the back seat of an expensive limousine, beautiful and fashionably dressed, Josie Winters looked as out of place in Coal Town as Hitler would in heaven. But Pittsburgh Markham and Cash Evans didn't even see this miracle as they ran out to her car, jumped into the front seat, and drove it away.
What's that noise, Cash?
Oh, there's a dame in the back seat hammering on the glass partition.
Well, open the glass.
Okay, Pittsburgh.
What's the idea?
Relax, lady. You have your car.
You can take it back yourself as soon as we're through with it.
You will be in plenty of trouble when my friend finds his car gone.
Well, we'll worry about that when we see your friend. There's a fire underground at the mine.
Underground fire?
Yeah, now shut up and don't annoy the driver.
That was the way I met Pittsburgh Markham and Cash Evans. At the time, they were just a couple of coal diggers, and I was just a hunky miner's daughter running around with a small-time price fight manager. I was trying to escape from the stench and grime of the collieries, and my plans for the future definitely did not include any coal miners. But Pittsburgh took me in his arms that night, and when the price fight manager left town the next day, even though we were engaged, I did not go with him. I stayed to be near Pitt. Pitt, Cash, and I were the three musketeers of Coal Town, bound together by love and friendship and a desire to get away from the mines and get ahead. It was a trio without jealousy.
I think I'll tag along when you go to see Josie tonight, Pitt.
Why not? Josie and I ain't got no secrets from you.
Yeah?
Cash.
Ah.
I got an idea that's going to take us out of these mines one of these days.
Now, what are you going to do? Slug the boss and get us fired?
I hadn't thought of that, but it might be a good idea.
What was that, Pitt?
Oh, some fool using too much powder. Trying to get out an extra ton so he can feed his family.
Well, somebody ought to warn him. He might start a slide or a big...
Cave in!
It's too late to warn him now. Come on! How many guys are caught?
Just Johnny Granger.
Well, why aren't you digging him out?
There's no hurry. We saw the cave-in hit him, Cash. He never had a chance.
Poor devil.
Well, we still got to dig him out. Come on, give us a hand.
In the sheer joy of loving and laughing together, Pitt and I almost forgot our ambition. But Johnny Granger's death was a tragic reminder. And I was determined to prod Pitt and Cash into getting out of the mines. So when they arrived at my place that night, I had my bag packed and pretended I was leaving.
Hey, what's the idea of the suitcase, Josie?
I'm going so far away, I'll never even hear about coal or mines or miners.
Now, Josie, you're just upset about Johnny's accident.
Be still, Cash. There's dirt and smoke and sweat and hunger and strikes. That's all I've known from the day I was born. And I'm getting out of it.
Oh, stop talking foolishness, Josie. You couldn't stay away from me if you wanted to.
Couldn't I?
And besides, I'm always gonna be slinging a pick. No.
No? What else can you do?
I don't know yet, but I know there ain't a thing in the world I can't do once I set my mind to it. And I'll prove it to you.
Well, you better start proving it in a hurry. Because I won't be around after tomorrow.
Oh, now, take it easy, Josie. We're all in this together.
Pittsburgh can't go out and set the world on fire tonight.
He could start tonight, but he won't.
Won't I? I'm through digging coal as of right now. Give me that phone.
Now, Pitt, don't do nothing that'll be sorry for.
Shut up. Operator, give me the superintendent at number 7.
Now, listen to me, Pitt.
Don't worry, Cash. He's just bluffing.
Hello, Kelly. This is Pittsburgh Markham. I'm quitting, Kelly.
What?
No, I'm not drunk. I just called to say that me and Cash Evans won't be working for you anymore.
What? Quit for yourself, Pitt. I like my
job.
Will
you shut up?
Who's that, Kelly?
Well, so are you.
Okay, wise guy. Now, what are we going to do?
Well, go ahead, Mr. Rockefeller. Explain yourself.
Mr. Prentice, you've been buying coal, paying freight, and coking at your plant. If we coke it right at the mines, we can save enough in freight to sell it to you $3 a ton cheaper than you're getting it now.
If that's so, I'll be glad to sign a contract with you, providing you can bring me positive proof that you have the coal, equipment, and ability to deliver. Roughly, that means you'll need backing of around $250,000.
$250,000?
That shouldn't bother a man with your big ideas, Markham.
Okay. I'll be back at 5, Mr. Prentice. Be ready to sign that contract.
Now, Pitt, just where do you think we're going to lay our hands on $250,000?
No, we don't need to. I got the answer right here on this blotter. I picked it up in Prentice's office.
I don't get it.
All I have to do is copy Prentice's signature off the blotter, put it on a contract which says we got a deal to deliver coke to Prentice Steel, and we'll get the credit we need.
Well, no bank will give it to us without checking with Prentice.
Who said anything about a bank? We're going out to the mine and get our ex-boss. Old man Wilson himself to back us.
Yeah, back us right into jail.
Think so? Well, tag along and see how it's done.
We did it, Josie. We put it over.
You did what, Pitt? Put what over?
The idea. We're in business. Markham and Evans.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad for you boys. Very glad.
Glad for us. How about yourself? Say, haven't you unpacked that bag yet?
Yeah, put your things away, Josie. We're going to celebrate.
No, thanks. I've decided to get on my way.
Are you crazy? You're as much a partner in this as Cash and me.
No, Pitt. You're on your way up now, and the hunky's daughter wouldn't fit in.
Then we'll throw the whole thing away. You've kicked us into trying to get ahead, and if you don't stay as a partner, the whole thing's dead.
That's the way it'll be, Josie.
And if you go away and we drop this, Josie, what becomes of all the miners we were going to give jobs to? Where are they going to get free hospitalization you wanted to give them? And schools and...
You really mean that, Pitt?
Listen, Josie, I'd give you up before I'd go back on those promises.
During the next 2 years, I sat at home and waited while Pittsburgh and Cash worked night and day. And the firm of Markham and Evans grew by leaps and bounds. Then success began to make a change in Pittsburgh. We were no longer the three musketeers of Coal Town. Cash and I were left to ourselves, while Pittsburgh found other companions, companions more valuable to an ambitious man. Then Pittsburgh kept his promise to me. He gave me up before he gave up his promises of the things he would do for the coal miners. While Cash and I waited for him to come back to us, he married Shannon Prentice, the daughter of the steel magnate. Then he came to my apartment on his wedding night.
Hello, Joseph.
Pitt.
Meet the new vice president of Prentice Steel.
What are you thinking of, Pitt? Coming here tonight.
Oh, that society gang will never miss me. Why didn't you come to my wedding, Josie?
Are you insane?
Now, look, Josie, you've got the wrong slant. Marriage with that mob is a business like everything else. I played my angles and got a vice presidency. That's got nothing to do with you and me.
You and me?
Certainly. We're going to see a lot of each other, same as always.
Take your hands off me, Pitt.
Well, listen, you've got to see this the right way.
For the first time, I do see it the right way. I've been around a long time, Pitt. In my stupid mind, there was never anybody else but you. You could have had me forever. But now I'm glad it's worked out the way it has. You've picked the kind of life you want. So go back to it, and to her, and stay there.
You still don't understand.
Get out. Pittsburgh didn't come near me again after that night. And my only contact with him was through Cash. And the reports Cash brought were not pleasant to hear. Even though Cash and I tried to make excuses, in his lust for power, Pittsburgh had forgotten his ideals. And he was making enemies faster than he was making money. Then, when the miners insisted that he keep his promises to them, Cash went to talk with them and made them a new promise for the firm.
I promised these men if we are making money, they'd get their share, and that they could inspect our books at the end of the quarter.
Listen, Cash, I don't care what you promised. I don't show my books to anybody.
You're going to do this, and I gave the men my word. I gave the men my word, and you're going to pick me up.
Hospitalization you promised them, the schools you're going to build.
Schools? To make them as smart as me?
I wonder if you're smart or just plain lucky. You're heading for trouble, Pitt. Big trouble, if you don't change your line of thinking.
My thinking's done all right for all of us. Let it alone. And as for trouble, I can handle any trouble anybody can throw at me.
Don't be too sure. Anyway, I'm warning you, Pitt. My partnership in this outfit gives me some right to say what's done. So I'm keeping my promise to Joe and the miners. Understand?
All right, you win. If it means so much to you, I'll put the books on display in the public library. Shake?
Shake.
I'm a rat, Cash, and that's why I gotta have you around. Sort of keep me in line.
You ought to get a sharper knife. You could slice it a little thinner.
I love you, Cash. So help me, I love you. Say, why don't you bring Josie to the party tonight?
Maybe I will. It might amuse her to see you in that mausoleum you live in, entirely surrounded by enemies.
Oh, lay off. You two set the date, Jeff?
Don't worry. I'll be around bragging to you as soon as we do. And remember what I said about the trouble you're heading for, Pitt. It's going to catch up with you one of these days.
And so ends Act One of Pittsburgh, starring Marlena Dietrich, Randolph Scott, and John Wayne. In just a moment, we'll hear Act Two. But first, here's a word from our hostess, Lady Esther.
A recent issue of a famous magazine addressing itself to the women of wartime America says, "Our real job is to remain women, first, last, and forever. Yes, whatever else we may be doing, it's our real job to remain women, to remain feminine and lovely to look at. As a matter of fact, in some of the most important war jobs women are doing today, it's necessary for them to look their very best, their most attractive. And so many of these women are discovering all they need to help keep themselves looking their best, to help keep their skin fresh and young-looking, is one cream, Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream. They say this one cream by itself helps make their skin look smoother, fresher, and younger than it's looked in years. Lady Esther Face Cream brings your skin four important aids to beauty. First, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Second, it softens your skin, relieves the dryness that may cause little lines. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And finally, it leaves a perfect non-sticky base for powder. The very first time you try it, you'll see why more and more busy, lovely women every day are changing to Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream for the complete care of their skin.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of Pittsburgh, starring Marlena Dietrich as Josie Winters, Randolph Scott as Cash Evans, and John Wayne as Pittsburgh Markham.
The trouble that Cash had warned Pittsburgh against wasn't long in coming. But it struck from an unexpected quarter. Cash and I were discussing a new drug that has been discovered in the company's experimental laboratory, planning the great good it would do, when Pittsburgh joined us.
Did I hear you say the laboratory had discovered something big?
Yes, Pittsburgh, it's wonderful.
Yeah? What is it?
They found a sulfur compound. If it works as they think it will, we'll be saving lives, doing away with a lot of suffering all over the world.
Pitt, it looks as though they're on the trail of a medical cure-all.
Well, I hope it's a short trail.
In my book, every time the clock ticks, it ought to ring like a cash register.
Well, this may not ring any cash register, Pip, but it will save thousands of lives.
Well, we'd better keep our researching on paints and varnishes, then. Let somebody else worry about this sulfa, whatchamacallit.
But, Pip, this is something that'll benefit all humanity.
Humanity? You used to be a sharp guy, Cash, before you got into that four-syllable stuff. Stick to the things that'll benefit Markham and Evans.
You don't mean that you're going to drop your medical research after all these years of work, Pip?
Medicine's not our racket, Josie. We're in the coal business, and that's that.
Just a second. That's your verdict. Josie and I are taking over this research and checking out.
Give him a chance to think it over, Cash.
His time's too valuable, and so is ours. American now. Well, now we take that up. They're going to give us a carte blanche, Pip. You know what that means.
Well, I don't have to know French to savvy a dirty deal.
No? You just get a little mixed up on where the dirt is. You can buy my interest in Markham and Evans for its market value.
Well, that's the deal. And you can start packing.
Pittsburgh, you're making the biggest mistake of your life.
I doubt it, Josie. I've made bigger mistakes. And you were one of them. But I still do all right by myself.
It was just the beginning of Pittsburgh's trouble. Without Cash to steady him and make excuses for him, the troubles began to build to disaster. First, the miners called for their promised accounting.
Mr. Joel Malnick and some other gentlemen are here to see you, Mr. Markham.
Oh, yeah. Send them in.
Mr. Markham will see you.
Hello, Joe. What's up?
It's the end of the quarter, Pittsburgh. We hadn't heard from you, so we decided to drop around.
Yeah, we've come to have a look-see at your books.
A look at my books? I don't know what you're talking about, Johnny.
What'd I tell you, Joe?
Wait a minute, Pittsburgh. We had a promise we could see your books at the end of this quarter.
Did I promise you that?
No, but Cash did, and he's your partner.
You mean he was my partner, Joe? Nobody looks at my books unless I say so, and I'm saying no.
Suppose we make you let us see them.
Take it easy, Johnny. It's only fair to tell you, Pittsburgh, the boys aren't going to like this.
Yeah? Well, that gang of moles down there don't know what they like. Now, how's about getting out of here and digging some coal?
Okay, Pitt. We get back to the mine, Johnny. I'm going to see Cash. You know, Cash, I still don't get Pitts coming out to the mine when he knows how the boys hate him.
You can't figure that guy. Where's Pittsburgh, Kelly?
He's down the shaft. I warned him not to go down, but he's the boss.
John, you'll murder him. Hurry, Cash. Here, take this elevator. Don't get into the automatic.
Why? What's the matter with the automatic? Won't it run?
Yeah, but it isn't safe, and we don't dare use it. Come on.
What is this? What do you guys think you're doing?
I'll tell you what it is, big shot. You played us for suckers with a promise you never figured to keep. Letting us break our backs, digging for more dough when the cards were stacked against us. Well, they're still stacked, only the other way. Look around, big shot. See what the boys think of you. When we get through with you, you won't ever be jipping nobody else.
Hey, wait a minute, Johnny.
You keep out of this, Cash.
You think this guy has double-crossed you? It's nothing to what he's done to me. If there's anything left when I get through, you can have it, but I get him first.
Trying to be a hero, eh, Cash?
Get your hands up, kid.
Trying to give yourself a build-up in front of all these...
Good work, Cash.
What are you backing away from? Hey, what was that?
Wait. It sounded like the automatic elevator crashed to the bottom.
That was a moment for
it. Yeah.
It sounded like Josie.
It was Josie.
There's still no change in her condition, Mr. Evans.
Thank you, Doctor.
Cash, I could only tell you how I feel.
You're a little late waking up to that, aren't you, Pittsburgh? Get out of here. I don't want to ever to see you again.
Oh, you got to listen.
All your life, there's only been one person, you. And if you went back to the beginning, you couldn't change.
What do you mean, couldn't? There isn't a thing in the world I can't do.
That's what you used to tell Josie, but she got wise.
Oh, I've been wrong, Cash, but I'm going to change.
She told me once that you were no good for anybody. Funny how it worked out. And someday all the mistakes you've made are going to pile up and fall on you like a ton of slag.
Mr. Evans, and she's asking for you.
Thank you, nurse.
Cash, will you tell Josie something for me?
Well, what is it?
Tell her if she'll just recover, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to make everything up to her.
Stop looking like old man gloom. I'm going to be all right.
Sure you are.
You know, you look pretty awful, Cash. You must have had quite a fight.
You ought to see the other guy.
I don't want to see the other guy. Any other guy.
I believe it now, Josie. And I'm going to stay right here in your corner until you get well.
Then we can't lose, can we, Cash?
Say, Pittsburgh wanted me to tell you that...
Well, that was the beginning of a new life for Cash and me. Just as it was the beginning of the end for Pittsburgh. He had changed too late, and his new softness betrayed him. Before long, he could count his assets with a minus sign and his friends on one finger. Then one day, laughter went out of the world, and Pittsburgh's troubles became less than nothing. There was a war to be won for the people and by the people. Then there was but only one question for every American to ask himself. What can I do? Once again at the bottom of the ladder, Pittsburgh got a job in a defense plant. A defense plant owned by Cash. He signed up for the job as Charles Ellis. But the clerk who took his application recognized him and passed the information on to me. I kept track of him, and each week he managed to work himself up the ladder another rung. He had changed completely. Once again, he was the hard-working, hard-hitting Pittsburgh. The one that Cash and I had loved. And he got the opportunity he had earned before very long. Cash had called a meeting of production executives.
Read over the figures on our quota, gentlemen. This list calls for an all-out effort.
Well, I've read the list very carefully, Mr. Evans, and I say you've committed us to too great a quota.
We are committed to a war, Burns. From now on, it's guns, planes, and tanks. I've said we can do it.
Yes, but...
Hold on, Burns. All we've been getting out of you for months has been ifs, ands, and buts.
I'm sorry, Mr. Evans. I'm not trying to be unduly pessimistic. I'll admit I'm not a war expert. I'm only your production manager.
You mean you were my production manager?
Very well, sir. If that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Gentlemen, I know it's going to be tough, but the production race is on and we're in it. Jones, can you get your men to roll up their sleeves an extra notch?
I don't think they'll let us down, Mr. Evans.
Good, now let's get going.
Who's going to take Burns' place, Cash?
I don't know, Josie. Do you think any of the men who just left are big enough?
No.
Neither do I.
But I know a man who is big enough. A man who's on your payroll this very minute. He started on the labor gang and saved you one day out of seven. When he moved up the assembly lines, he knocked an hour out of every ten. With a simple idea on spot welding, he gave you an extra 500 man hours a month.
Well, who is he? Why haven't I heard of him?
His name's Charles Ellis.
Yes, Mr. Evans?
Send me Charles Ellis immediately. You'd better run along, Josie. Apologize to me for the guests.
I'm not going to budge from this office till you go with me. First thing I know, they'll be sending you home feet first.
Mr. Charles Ellis is here, Mr. Evans.
Well, send him in. Mr. Ellis, you've been recommended to me very highly by... Pittsburgh, what are you doing here?
Don't ask me. You sent for me.
I sent for Charles Ellis. Oh. So you're the wonder boy I've been hearing so much about. I thought I told you once that I didn't want ever to see you again.
You sent for me.
Okay, so I sent for you, and now I'm asking you to leave.
Fine. But remember, don't call me off a job again unless you want me. I'm particular how I waste my time.
If I ever call you off a job again,
it'll
be...
Wait a minute, Cash.
Josie, this is none of your business.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm a partner in this firm. And besides, isn't this war part of my business? Isn't it part of the business of everyone? I'm ashamed of you.
Oh, Josie, you got it.
Don't interrupt me. I helped start you two on the road that led you into this very room. You've said so yourself, both of you. And now it's an emergency. You need each other. The company needs you. Your country needs you. What are you going to do about it?
I need a production manager, Pitt.
Okay, you've got one.
Yes, Mr. Evans?
This isn't Mr. Evans. This is Mr. Ellis. I want you to put an order through at once notifying all department heads that there will be a meeting in Mr. Evans' office in exactly 1 hour. I'll get it, Cash. Hello? Who? Mr. Evans said you'd get your equipment Thursday. You'll get everything Wednesday, Mr. Johnson. My partner made a mistake.
Partner?
You heard me. Now that I'm back, brother, I'm back to stay.
So ends the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players presentation of the current Universal Motion Picture, Pittsburgh. Our thanks to you, John Wayne, Randy Scott, and Marlena Dietrich
for your excellent performances.
If I may speak for Mr. Scott and Mr. Wayne, I would like to express our thanks for being able to appear for the Screen Guild Players. You see, the Motion Picture Relief Fund, which receives the benefits from these programs, is very important to all of us. May I tell our listeners also that Barbara Stanwyck is here with us tonight, and she is coming to the microphone in just a minute. But first, I would like you to hear a word from one of our best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Dietrich. The month of April is a windy, blustery month that can sabotage your skin, if you let it. It can make your skin dry and flaky. Now, if you've noticed that your skin is developing little rough patches here and there, and especially if you're outdoors more than usual these days, be sure to safeguard your skin with a rich, satisfying cream. And by rich, I don't mean greasy. You know, a greasy cream may fill up the tiny pore openings and lock in the dirt. And in time, that may distend the pores and make your skin look a little coarse. But that can't happen with Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, because it's rich and satisfying to your skin without being greasy. Lady Esther face cream not only safeguards your skin in blustery weather, not only smooths away the dryness and keeps your skin youthfully soft and pliant, but it also helps prevent that tense, drawn look so many women have in these anxious times. Helps combat the little dry lines that can form so quickly around your eyes and mouth. Lady Esther face cream acts four ways at once to freshen and beautify your skin. And it does all these four important things so quickly, so easily. You just smooth on Lady Esther face cream, wipe it off, and then apply your powder. This one cream cleans your skin, softens your skin, helps nature refine the pores, and leaves a perfect non-sticky base for powder. Now, when one cream can do all this for your skin, why bother with more complicated methods? Just try Lady Esther face cream and see how much fresher and younger, how radiant your skin can look after a few applications.
And now, here is Barbara Stanwyck.
You know that your government is now engaged in raising the greatest war loan in the world's history, $13 billion. This is more than a loan to your country in a time of crisis. This is a $13 billion insurance policy for complete and uncompromising victory upon which you and I must pay the premium. This is insurance that our fathers and brothers and sons in service will have the best of care and equipment. It is insurance that the cause of freedom will be carried forward with the backing of every man, woman, and child in America. It is an endowment fund for your children and your children's children that they may live in a world free from fear and want. This is a $13 billion policy to underwrite the invasion of Europe and the overthrow of tyranny all over the world. You and yours are the beneficiaries. The medical examination is simple. Just listen to your own heart. Thank you.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present Woman of the Year. It will star Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy. Marlena Dietrich, Randolph Scott, and John Wayne are currently being seen in Pittsburgh, a Universal picture. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Screen Guild Players are presented every Monday night at this time by Lady Esther. To save materials, buy the larger size of Lady Esther face cream. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.